Father, we thank you for this morning. We praise you and bless you and glorify you for giving us this opportunity to come here, gather here, to praise you together and worship you, and now to come to your word. So I ask for help as I read and talk from your word, and be with each of us to be receptive and to be encouraged by what you have to say to us. So we commit this time in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So during this series, you know, we've over the past few weeks, we've gone through the reality of spiritual warfare and the need for each of us, you know, for us to put on each of the pieces of God's armor. And we've understood, right, that as Christians, we must always be ready and prepared to stand against the schemes of the devil, and that we should really expect the spiritual battle in our lives. In fact, it is a battle that every Christian must and will face at some point in our lives. Because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, authorities, cosmic powers, and against the spiritual forces in the heavenly places. And the truth is that some of you might be experiencing that right now at this very moment. And over the past few weeks, we've looked at the various pieces of the armor that we must put on to help us in this battle, right? On the first talk, on talk one, it was all about the reality of the spiritual warfare and the need to stand your ground. Talk two was about the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and ready feet. On the third talk, it was all about the shield of faith. And last week, we heard about the helmet of salvation and sword of the Spirit. And on this final talk today, we will be focusing on prayer and being alert, as taught to us in Ephesians 6:18 to 20. So in these final few verses, we are told to pray at all times in the Spirit, to keep alert with all perseverance and supplications, and making supplications for the saints. So looking at the verses right from the start and end of Ephesians 6:10-20, it gives us an idea of how to put these instructions into practice and how to make effective the armor that we put on. So to do that, I thought of an illustration that I would share with you, right? And so imagine yourself to be a pilot. And you're a pilot of this fighter jet that you are going to get into, right? Because you're getting prepared for battle. Imagine you're in one of the best fighter jets out there, maybe a Raptor F-22, if you know your planes, or something like that. Something that is a formidable war machine. It's got stealth to protect itself. It's got the ability to carry weaponry to protect against enemy fire. And imagine that you are ready to go on this mission. So you jump into the cockpit and you have your pilot suit on, you've got your helmet on, you've got your communication devices, and you sit inside, right? You're all ready to go. But now at this point, you have all of this amazing machinery around you to make you a winner in this battle. But what happens if none of your communication devices work and you cannot even contact the control center or the main center to guide you, to share information with you that is going to make your mission successful? What happens? Well, you're pretty much not very useful or any help to anyone, even though you have so much of capability at your hands to defend yourself. All of this defense mechanism and firepower becomes of no use to you. Instead, it jeopardizes your ability to win and can even put others at risk and makes every piece of armor ineffective. And you know what? I think that it is the same truth as we put on God's armor. You know, we can put on all of these things, but the truth is that we cannot really stand if we do it in our own strength and if we do not communicate to God in prayer. We just become pretty much sitting ducks, waiting to be shot at by the flaming arrows of the devil. Just like if we sit in this fully loaded war machine without the ability to communicate back to base. So likewise, this passage tells us that as we adorn the armor of God, that the source of its strength comes from God. The start of the passage in verse 10 and these last few passages from 18 to 20 show us this fact. And sandwiched in between these two truths are the instructions to put on the full armor of God. So in the beginning, at verse 10, we are told, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, right? So notice it says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. The might and the strength is of the Lord, not really ours. And to do so, we have to go to the end of the passage, right? You need to do it by relying on him. And one of the ways to do that is given to us in verse 18. After all of the instructions on putting on the armor, it says in verse 18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for the saints. So church, prayer is crucial in the life of a believer. Yet, so many of us actually struggle with prayer. You may not be spending much time in prayer, or you find it as a boring chore that you have to do every day, or you just can't get yourself to pray, or you just pray once in a while rather than really looking forward to it as part of your everyday living. You know, I'm sure that most of us has or is at that place right now. And the truth is, I know that I've had that struggle too. But when we understand prayer and the power of prayer, then it brings us to a place where we really enjoy our time with God and something we look forward to each and every day. Amen. So as we read in Ephesians, when we become a believer in Christ, then we are entering in the spiritual battle against the evil forces of this world, which presents itself to us in very different ways. And so to battle against this, we need God's help. And one of the ways to do that is through prayer. And that is absolutely key in our life. So to do that, I want to look at three things that will help us to understand and to be able to apply it in our lives as well. So the first thing that we're going to look at is, why do we need to pray? Secondly, we will look at, what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? And finally, we will look at being alert and persevering in prayer. And I hope that as we go through these today, that you will be encouraged in prayer and that we can stand fast in our spiritual battles for the glory of God. Amen. So the first point, why do we need to pray? You know, even as it was asked in the children's talk today, I'm sure some of these questions have gone through our minds as well. And I ask this also because sometimes we can think this way. You know what? God is sovereign and he knows the end from the beginning. So why bother praying? Regardless of what I pray for, all things are just going to work out as God has planned it anyway. And I'm sure many of us have thought about this, right? God knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. So what is the point of actually praying? Well, this should really be the very reason that we need to pray. And the fact is that God is sovereign, and that should lead us to prayer. You see, because God is sovereign, it also means that he can see a lot more than us. And he knows a lot more things about the battle that we are in, and he can help us to overcome it. He is precisely the one to whom we need to be in communication with. The truth is that, you know, God can deliver us from every spiritual attack and situation by just speaking a word. But instead, what we see God doing is that he makes us to be part of the battle along with him. And together, he leads us to ultimate victory, which goes beyond even this world and into the one to come. You see, as we battle together, we in the strength of the Lord, as we communicate with him, as we pray to him, you know, there is a joy in overcoming the devil together in the strength of the Lord. And by doing that, we're actually bringing glory to his name too. We are instructed to wear God's armor because we are in the spiritual fight, which means that we have a part to play in this battle too. And we are not alone in it because God is with us in it. You know, like if we wanted God to do everything, we didn't really have to pray or anything. You know, it really shows that we do not want to be in part of the battle. We want to sit on the sidelines, see God do everything, right? But when we pray, when we're in communication with him, we are talking to him and he helps us. And together, we overcome the battle by his strength and for his glory. So let us just, as an example, right? Let us look back at my illustration right at the start of this talk. Imagine now you're back on this fighter jet that you're going on a battle on, right? Now all of your communication devices are working, the lines are open, you can talk back to the control center, you are good to go. You've taken off on a mission and you come under heavy enemy attack at this point. You are in a battle, you're in the middle of this battle. Now at this point, would you think to yourself, you know what, the control center guys are pretty good, right? They can see everything, they've got all the information that is being fed to them all the time. I'm sure that they can see that I'm in the middle of this fierce enemy attack and they're going to do something about it. Those guys are good, you know, let me just sit back here, watch them do their job well. Would that go through your mind, or would it be this instead? Would you, in the middle of a fierce dogfight in the air, would you be calling on the command center to request backup, provide as much info as you can to them, tell them the type of help that you need in this battle to overcome the enemy? You ask them for what they know, etc., to help you. You know, similarly, sometimes when we do not pray, it is like being in the middle of a fierce spiritual battle, but not communicating to a sovereign God who knows all things, who sees all things, who has the ability to help you overcome the flaming darts of the enemy because he knows and he sees all things. You see, the fact that God is sovereign, the sovereignty of God and of him knowing all things must actually inspire us to pray to the one who holds all things in his hands. And as we pray and as we do so, prayer invokes the sovereignly planned providence of a good God. Amen. So I just hope that it helps us understand a little bit that prayer helps us be in relationship with God. Prayer helps us to go to a God who is sovereign, who helps and sees our battles, and he knows all things even before we ask him. But prayer invokes the sovereignly planned providence of God, and we can fight our battles together with him. So now let us look at the second point, which shows us how to pray, and particularly in the Spirit, right? So the second point is, what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Because Ephesians 6:18 tells us praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. So what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Because now we go from the importance of how to pray and now we go from the importance of prayer to how to pray, and that is to pray in the Spirit. What does it mean and how can we do it, right? So what this command shows us is the fact that, in fact, we can pray without the Spirit too. If we are told to pray in the Spirit, then there are ways that we pray that is not without the Spirit as well. And it can be not a right type of prayer. So by looking at Scripture, I hope we can determine what praying in the Spirit is, and that'll help us to understand that. Because, You know, scripture in fact teaches us a lot about prayer. And all we need to do is look at what Jesus taught us about prayer and other parts of scripture as well. So let's begin by looking at what are some of the wrong ways we can pray and not in the Spirit. Well, one way we do not pray in the Spirit is when we pray and honor God with our lips, but our hearts are far from Him. Mark 7:6 tells us, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me.'" You know, we can come to God and say all the right things to Him, but the desires of our heart are far from Him. We want more of what the world has to offer than what He has to give us. Another way is to pray like hypocrites, as Jesus says in Matthew 6:7-8. Here it says, "When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." You know, sometimes we pray and think if we pray a certain way, or if we pray a long time, or for the many words that we've used, that God is going to hear us. Instead, God wants us to pray from our heart, by faith, and by trusting in Him. Another way that we pray without not praying the Spirit is when we pray without faith, like it tells us in James 1:6. "But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind." So you see, church, prayer is not a mindless activity, but it is something that comes from our heart. It is a sacred exercise, and because it is, you need the help of the Holy Spirit to help you in your prayer. And when we do not do that, then we end up praying in all of the ways that I just mentioned, which is not praying in the Spirit. So what it means to pray in the Spirit then means is that when we pray, that we pray completely depending on the Holy Spirit, to be in alignment to what the Spirit desires, which is what is revealed to us in God's Word, His will, and to that end, those things that glorifies Him. It is to approach God and pray in accordance to the Word of God. It is to pray from the heart. It is to pray with passion. It is to pray with faith and to seek God's will in the middle of your situation. And you know what? It even goes beyond just words. It means to be totally dependent on God, conforming to His will and holding onto His amazing grace, promises, and kindness by faith in Him. You know, sometimes in our spiritual battle, as we're going through various struggles and issues in life, we can come to a sense of feeling totally inadequate. And there may be moments when we do not even have the words to pray. We sometimes allow the situations around us to determine our value, our worth, rather than allowing Christ to do it. Sometimes we feel helpless, so helpless, that we cannot even bring ourselves to pray, or that God is not going to listen to my prayer because I don't even know what to pray for, or how will God accept it. But church, so encouraging, the Word of God, even in those situations, right? Scripture tells us that His Spirit prays and intercedes on our behalf. And there's such an encouraging passage in Romans 8:26-27. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." Church, I want to encourage you today that yes, God hears your prayers when you pray in the Spirit, when you pray by depending on Him and your heart is set on Him. When you know that you are unable to do anything, that you need God's help, and you cry out to him by faith, the best way you know how, he will hear your prayers. Amen. So it is important to pray to the Holy Spirit himself as well. You know, sometimes and often, many times, we can be so focused on praying to just the two members of the Trinity, we sometimes forget to pray to the Holy Spirit himself. We forget to thank him for his work in our lives and for his help in prayers and in our battles. We can pray to the Holy Spirit to fill us with himself, to cause his fruit to ripen in our lives, and for him to sanctify us in our daily walk with the Lord. So I encourage you to bring all your needs to the Lord as you may be facing a spiritual battle in your life. However that might look, bring it to the Lord in prayer. So far we have seen why we need to pray, that we are to pray at all times, and what it means to pray in the Spirit. So next, let us look at what it means to being watchful, being alert and persevering in our prayers. Again, Ephesians 6:18 tells us, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for the saints, right? So this instruction of being alert and persevering in our prayers, I think is a really important point that we really need to take heed of, right? It is to be watchful at all times. A passage in 2 Corinthians 11:3 tells us, but I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. So we see here that the devil sometimes is very cunning and deceptive, and we've got to be alert to those things. And that is why I think that we're instructed to keep alert. And I thought I'll share an example of something that I think will really help us to understand this concept of why we need to keep alert in our spiritual battle. For example, I don't know how many of you use Instagram here, right? But there was a reel that was circling around, and my wife Teresa sort of showed it to me. And it's this person asking ChatGPT this question, right? It was like, if you're the devil, how would you deceive someone? How would you deceive people if you were the devil, right? And it was very revealing, the response that I got, that it gave. So the reel is someone just speaking into a phone. So I just typed it up in ChatGPT and I got this response. So I thought I'll share that with you and help us understand this, right? And this is the response it gave. It says, that's a heavy, and this is ChatGPT speaking, that's a heavy and thought-provoking question. If we're speaking hypothetically or from a literary or philosophical angle, like the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis or Paradise Lost by Milton, the devil typically doesn't deceive through obvious evil, but through subtle distortion of truth, appealing to pride, comfort, and self-justification. And then it goes on to list a few things. Here's how that kind of deception might look in concept. So first thing, small compromises, right? Getting someone to justify just this once until it becomes a pattern. You know, are there things in your life that you're saying, you know what, I'm just going to do this, just this one more time, no more after that. But before you know it, the sinful nature has become a pattern in your life. Another thing, flattering lies. Feeding the ego, saying, you're smarter than them. You deserve this. You're the exception, right? Telling you that you don't really need to listen to anyone else. You know what's best for yourself. You just do what you think is good for you. Don't listen to all of that good advice that's coming your way. Another one, redefining good and evil, blurring moral lines, making wrong seem right by twisting words like freedom, love, or justice. We see that happening all the time in our society now. Those lines are being blurred rather than going to what does Scripture teach us about this truth. Distraction, keeping someone so busy, entertained or anxious that they never reflect deeply or seek truth. This is very common nowadays, right? Like even on our phones, on our devices, we can be so busy, caught up. It could even be sport. You might be, you know, so into sport or something else in your life that's distracting you from seeking truth, from spending time in God's word and understanding it. Another one, appealing to emotions over reason, encouraging decisions based solely on desire, fear, or anger. You know, it is your emotions that's driving how you make your decisions, rather than going to God's word, his truth, being in communication with God and seeking God's will through prayer. And finally, encouraging isolation, whispering, no one understands you, you don't need anyone, so they cut themselves off from real community or accountability. And that can be very true, right? When you don't want to listen to anyone else, when you don't think anyone else understands you, you move away from our community, and that can be very dangerous as well. So it goes on to say it's more psychological than dramatic, usually operating through suggestion and self-deception rather than direct lies. So it's death by a thousand whispers, not a loud attack. Real sabotage usually looks like self-sabotage, encouraged by subtle deception. Church, this is why we need to keep alert and be watchful with all perseverance. When we are not alert, then it allows the devil a foothold in our lives through subtle and deceptive means. You know, at the start of my talk, in my illustration, right? The battle that I was talking about was one which was dramatic. But oftentimes, we're in a spiritual battle that is very subtle. And the enemy seeks to sabotage and bring deception in a cunning way that you are not even ready or prepared for it, until defeat is on its way because you didn't even realize you were in the battle. You see, if you adorn yourself with the full armor of God and you are ready to defend yourself and fight against the evil forces, but then you are found asleep, what good is that going to do? It becomes a free pass for the devil to attack you in very subtle and deceptive ways. And this is why we are instructed to be alert. And at other times, you might very well be alert and you are in the middle of a fierce battle. But this time, the command is to persevere. It is not to give up. It is to persevere in prayer, persevere in your trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we see an example of this from Jesus himself, who was getting ready to be arrested and crucified. And what Jesus was doing was he was spending time in prayer, wanting to do the Father's will. He was praying for help from God and he also asked his disciples to support him in prayer. We read in Matthew 26, verses 40 to 41, and he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so could you not watch with me 1 hour? And he says these words, well, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And according to 1 Peter 5:8, the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And there are many hindrances that come our way when it comes to prayer. Sometimes our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. So we are to take up the armor of God through prayer and by being alert, being watchful, and through perseverance. We take up the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, and others through prayer and watchfulness by being alert. Just like how Jesus was tempted by the devil during his temptation in the wilderness. You know, Christ fought back, as we heard last week, with God's word, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And by looking at Jesus's life, we often see that he was constantly going to be in prayer with his Father, seeking his Father's help and guidance for all that he was going to suffer and endure to fulfill his Father's will. Likewise, we too are to resist the devil through prayer. Likewise, we are also to quench the flaming arrows sent by the forces of evil, and we are to stand firm on the promises of Christ until the day Christ is fully victorious over all darkness and he rules forever in peace. So in concluding, Paul finishes off with these words in Ephesians 6, 19 to 20. He says about prayer, "And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in Christ in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." See, Paul is commanding the church to not only pray at all times in the Spirit, to be alert, to be watchful and persevere, but also to pray for him. But what that shows us is that we need to pray, not just for ourselves, but also for one another. We are to battle together with the support of one another. And I don't know if you remember the first talk where Jack was talking about the way the soldiers would stand together with all the shields up. You know, it was something that they would do together to protect themselves as well. And I think that's the same we do as we end the series, also prayer, where Paul is asking for them to pray for him, you know, as he goes to do this. When Jesus was going to be crucified, asking his companions, "Pray with me," right? And it really shows us that we can pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ as they battle. They go through spiritual battles themselves, and we can do that together. We stand together for God's glory and for his praise. So we are to pray for one another as we go through difficult situations and battles in our lives. And this is why church life and community is so important. It is to encourage, it is to uplift, pray together, and through life by being there for one another in Christ. And as we do that, we bring praise and glory to God. So the truth is that we will all go through spiritual battles at some point in our life, and it'll look very different for each of us, right? It could be issues in your relationship. It could be an addiction that you might be battling. It could be your walk with God. It could be a health issue or whatever that might look like. John 16:33 tells us, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation." God is saying we will face these things, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So I pray that you have peace in the midst of it all, because Jesus has overcome. Amen. Praise God. He has overcome by his death and resurrection over sin, death, and the power of evil. So take heart that Jesus has paid the price for our salvation, that he helps us in our struggles, in our spiritual battles, in our pain, through the power of his strength and the work of his Spirit in our lives. If you have not experienced a relationship with this Jesus Christ, I encourage you to talk to one of us and to talk to God in prayer and to seek him through his word. And, you know, you can talk to us to explore how you can come to Christ and experience his love and grace and mercy and forgiveness. So stand firm. As we bring this to a close, stand firm, put on the full armor of God. Pray continuously in the Spirit, being alert, watchful, and with all perseverance. Pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ who are going through battles and struggles in their life. As it tells us in Philippians, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and may his peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. And in this way, as you put on the full armor of God, may you stand in the strength of his might and through the power of prayer, that you may make effective God's full armor and its result be for the glory of God. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that It encourages us so much, even as we've gone through this whole series of putting on the full armor of God. We thank you that we stand in your strength, in the might of the Lord, and we can come to you in prayer so confidently, and we have this opportunity to have relationship with you, that we can talk to you, we can pray to you in the middle of a battle, and that we can come to you, even though you are a sovereign, almighty God who knows all things, that we are part of this battle and that you are there with us. And Lord, that we can trust and hope in you. And we pray for each person who might be going through a spiritual battle at this very moment, that you be with them, encourage them, strengthen them, Lord, and help them in their perseverance to overcome in victory by your strength. And we pray for each of us, all the rest of us in God's family, Lord, that we encourage and stand by our brothers and sisters to help them through this battle. So we praise you and bless your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.